American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more, right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Thinking back, it's hard to believe it's nearly 30 years ago since we were all in The Point. The memories I have about the song, I suppose, go back to when first I got the idea. It was at a Fats Domino concert in the stadium in Dublin, and everybody got up and started boogieing in the aisles as Fats did his rock and roll thing. And I got the idea that underneath the suits and the conservative exterior, they were all rock and roll kids. So I only had the stub of a purple entrance ticket, and I borrowed a pen from the guy sitting beside me and just wrote down the title, Rock and Roll Kids. And you probably know the story. Initially, I had 7 verses, which ran through all the decades from the 60s up to the 90s. And then I thought, well, that's never going to get played on daytime radio. So I trimmed it back to what it now is. And then the next thing, we were on the Late Late Show with Pat, and one of my abiding memories is Pat saying after the performance, if that song doesn't win the whole darn thing, I'll eat my hat.
And I didn't have to eat my hat because it didn't win the whole darn thing on the 30th of April, 1994, in Dublin's Point Depot, which now, of course, is the Three Arena. It won the Eurovision Song Contest for the third time in a row. Brendan Graham wrote Rock and Roll Kids, and representing Ireland on the stage, Paul Harrington and Charlie McGettigan, who are with me this morning live. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, Matt. Good to be here.
Thank you very much for making the journey to be with us here in Marconi House on this auspicious day. 30 years ago, you probably don't remember any of it.
No, that's exactly. I actually had to thumb through Charlie's book to remember what I did all those years ago. And that's even a different version that I can remember.
Now we heard from Brendan there as to how he got the title of the song, and that begat 7 verses, which was reduced down to the 3 minutes, because that's all you're allowed in Eurovision, three minutes. How did you two get involved?
Well, I became involved. I knew Brendan for many years. We used to write songs together, and I met him first at the Wild Rose Song Contest in Manor Hamilton, County Leitrim, where he had won with Sing Me an Old Irish Song. I always remember that. But I would bring him songs, he would bring me songs, and he would have played it for me on the piano in our house. We had a stand-up piano, and he would have played it on the piano. Now, Brendan's not the best piano player you ever heard. Mm-hmm. Somebody said that Brendan's main objective is to get the black notes in the same line as the white notes, you know. but he played it for me, and he said, would you do a demo of it? And I did. And it was kind of a Don Williams. I was into country music at the time, and it was a kind of a Don Williams version. Didn't really work. But about a year later...
Could you demo that for us now, Dave? Yeah. Don Williams version.
I remember 62. I was 16 and so were you, and we lived next door on the avenue.
Hi, y'all.
Y'all. Here's a funny thing. I was listening back to our live performance at The Point, and when I listen to the opening line, I actually sound like I'm singing it in a country style as well, because it is a kind of a country
feel to it.
So here we have the demo, a la Hank Williams, performed by you. What happened next?
It didn't work. About a year later, he came to me with he said, you know that song, Rock and Roll Kids? I got somebody else to sing it, he played it for me. And it was this fella on the piano, just singing a vocal on the piano. I said, oh, Brendan. That's going to be a hit record, no matter what happens. You know, I said, but whatever you do, don't put the kitchen sink in there. Don't be putting the strings and the backing vocalists and the whole lot on there. So he went off anyway, and he entered it in the national song, or Euro song, it was called then. Didn't qualify. And the second year, he entered it again. Didn't qualify.
My goodness.
And it was the third time lucky. And then he came to me and he said, I said, Brendan, no, remember what I said? Don't be putting all the the stuff on there, because you're very tempted, because in those days you had the full orchestra, you know, absolutely.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a rare opportunity. Yeah, you know, most, your average bear didn't get to work with an orchestra, so the natural instinct would be, oh yeah, for God's sake, let's use the orchestra.
And that would have been my dream. My dream was sometime of winning the Eurovision Song Contest. And the conductor for Ireland, Noel Keelan, you know, and it was great. And I had the pleasure of working with Noel later. He was so highly regarded around Europe as a conductor and as an arranger. But anyway, Brendan went with us. He said, I think it needs something else. And I said, what are you talking about? He said, it needs you. And I said, what? And I realised immediately, Paul's reputation had come down the line. He needed somebody to look after Paul. And that was the only reason I was picked.
Under the bus immediately, right, when we're only 5 minutes in.
you're uncharacteristically quiet this morning, Paul.
Well, I'm just listening, because I love listening to Charlie's versions of the truth, you know what I mean? It's amazing. As I say, we're 30 years on, and we're not going on Mr. and Mrs. anytime soon, that's for sure, because we'd win nothing, you know? But it's interesting, because most of what you say is true. But because I remember Brendan, the reality, as you hear now, is as the truth unfolds, that Brendan and Charlie were in cahoots. That's the reality.
Oh, yeah.
But I, at the time, Brendan said to me, first of all, I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to do the song contest at all, because I was going well with an album and singles, and I was having hits, and things were working very well for me. So at the time, I was kind of probably listening to too many cool people saying, oh, you don't want to be going near that Eurovision thing, you know. Thanks be to God I did. But anyway, but at the time, I remember I didn't want to do it, but he said to me, how do you feel about somebody playing guitar? And I said, yeah, I have the very guy, Bill Shanley, would join me.
Thank you.
And he said, you know, because I didn't know you at the time. And then he turned to me and he said, look, he said, how do you feel about Charlie McGettigan? And he reminded me who you were. And I said, oh, yeah, I saw him recently with a band called Jargon opening up for Chris Rea in the National Concert Hall, and I said I was really, really impressed with his voice, his singing. So I said, "Yeah, that'd be lovely." So that's how
it happened.
Yeah, how we kind of eventually got together.
When you came to the National Song Contest, which was on Kenny Live actually, rather than Late Late Show, did you know that it was going to go so well? I mean, did you suspect? Because once I heard it, I said, "That's a winner." Even however good or bad the other songs were, I just said, this is it. But did you know? Did you?
We didn't even know each other. We literally met on the afternoon of Kenny Live in one of the Lombard studios, I think it was. And we literally sat down. We did about 15, 20 minutes rehearsal.
Run it through the song.
RTE and did it. And that was the only time we ever played it the same way twice.
It would have been the sound check and the camera check and all that for their live show that evening. But we got on famously as well. And was that the night the choir was on? Your Maynooth choir?
The Maynooth Chamber Choir were on. And the Minister for Arts, Culture and the Gaeltacht came to me recently and told me that she was in that choir that night. I was shaken because they were brilliant. The Maynooth Chamber Choir is always brilliant. And I was thinking, God, here we're going to have to follow this big noise.
But they were pretty impressed with the whole thing. Rather than me or you, I remember they were saying, that's a surefire. But you don't know. You don't know.
No.
You know, until the votes are
okay, cast. So then you won the national. What then? The preparations and the Eurovision, anyone has been, and I've been to so many of them as a commentator, it's a massive machine.
Oh yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, we won it in. It was in the university concert hall in Limerick at the time, and I suppose both of us were relatively well known, a little bit seasoned, and kind of taking it all in our stride in a way. But as you say, this whole machinery started to kick in, and all of a sudden your day, people want you for this, they want you for that. It's a photo shoot here, it's a photo shoot there. And it really, really gathered huge momentum.
The video, you do have kind of a picture video that goes out, you know, before the song comes on the night.
The postcard.
And it took considerably longer for us to do the video, mainly because, as you know, Paul is very sensitive about his hair. And we were in a boat going up in Leitrim somewhere. If the wind, we'd have to catch the wind in the right way, or otherwise the hair would go. And he was very, very, he would go, he'd use an expletive in the middle of something, and that means we had to do it again, you know.
Well, there was a band on the Shannon that was famously known as Wig Whipping Corner. That's what I do remember. But do you remember that? I mean, we lifted an upright piano onto this. I mean, listen, it's worth looking up. It's pretty ridiculous looking and pretty strange. But what a time!
And that went all over Europe.
I'm afraid so. After today, I was thinking we should pop into Bewley's for a cup of coffee.
I think we will.
Which is where they shot some of that.
Jerry Stenbridge, I think, was in charge of it.
Oh, there you go. What a memory.
Now, it was an extraordinary occasion because it was in the Point.
Yes.
And, of course, the co-hosts were Cynthia Niwuraku and the late Jerry Ryan. And by coincidence, today is his anniversary.
Yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah. 30th of April. It's extraordinary. And what a character, you know, and what encouragement he gave us. I mean, I kind of knew him outside of that as well. But and he always called me Harrow, you know, and he'd say, Harrow, you know. Tonight's the night, he said, they'd do the voting. This was the rehearsal? Yeah, the dress rehearsal. Yeah, that's what it was.
And they have a kind of a mock thing, just in case the transmission is interrupted, they will still have a show they can put out.
Yeah, you can switch it seamlessly into the
exactly,
one.
Exactly, yeah.
But Jerry has a particular memory of Jerry. I remember we lost our son back in 1998, and he died in a scaffolding accident in Boston.
I remember it well.
And Jerry brought me in maybe a year later to talk about general safety on building sites and stuff like that. And he went from being this mad character to suddenly calmed everything down, and we talked. And the sincerity that he in that interview, you always remember interviews where the guy looks into your eyes, just as you're looking into mine now, Pat, that you're being listened to, you know, because some, believe it or not, there are some quite well-known ones who look over your shoulder at what the floor manager's doing or what somebody's doing.
And they have their finger on the next question.
But Jerry was that way, so sincere, and yet could be madcap as well.
A great character and a great loss to radio, too.
Yeah. Well, we remember him particularly on this day, and of course more on the girls and the lads. Yeah. We commiserate once again with them and just cherish the memory of a gas man.
Yeah,
he was one of the originals. I always thought that he was Wogan-esque, and that brings me to the next bit, which is where Terry Wogan is doing the commentary in the final stages at the Point.
Yeah.
So let's have a listen to those moments.
Brilliant.
12
points.
That finishes it.
Poland.
France's final mark goes to Poland in second place with 166. I think you've probably gathered who's won. They've been in the lead from halfway down the first list, and they've never looked challenged, really. Ireland have done it. They can do this. They know how to win this contest, and they've won it for the third time in succession. Unprecedented, and they're quite pleased. This probably means that they're going to go on and win the Football World Cup as well. And old Jerry Ryan put the idea in their heads to sing Ole, Ole, Ole.
The only word that comes to my mind is history.
And this is for Drumshambo.
This is for Drumshambo. I don't know whether you know Drumshambo, a small town in Leitrim. The winning song. Congratulations to Ireland and to these two, Paul Harrington, Charlie McGettigan. Rock and roll kids.
So there you are.
I'd never heard that before.
Really,
never heard that. That's the first time.
It's a great memory. I mean, it's brilliant to be here and to be recalling that. And I was listening to that. I was thinking the excitement of the week, and the real pleasure was for your family, and you know, because you know, I'd one foot in and out of showbiz or whatever, but I mean, you know, bringing my mother meeting Terry in the Berkeley Court Hotel, stuff like that. I mean, it was like that, you know, that scene in The Wizard of Oz where it goes from black and white to colour.
Yeah.
You know, that's what that whole week felt like, because, you know, one minute you're just being photographed with Michael D and you're on the cover of the Irish Times. It was surreal and really, really wonderful.
I got to know Paul's family very well. They're a larger than life family. God, they used to be.
Yes.
They're diminished a good bit now. Sadly, but I remember one instance. I was going out to Colester with Paul, and we went in the door, and in the hallway there was a radio on the little
telephone table,
the radio on. Went in then into the kitchen. There was a radio on in there. There was a radio on in the front room. There was a radio on in the bathroom. There was a radio on upstairs on the landing, and Paul said, "Ma, what are you doing with all the radios? And she said, well, don't you get more money the more radios?
I'm afraid it's true.
It's true, though.
Yes, Charlie, I give you that one. That's true.
All right, we'll talk in a moment about what he did for you both winning the Eurovision, because this was a pan-European win and your faces became known everywhere. But maybe... I mean, that was 30 years ago, and you weren't golden oldies when you were singing that song.
Although we weren't children either.
I was. Paul is about 10 years younger than me.
I was 33, going on 34.
And I was 42.
I suppose in rock and roll terms, but not now with Jagger and McCartney.
We were the oldest, although we were the oldest entry or whatever to win in the history at that point, anyway.
Yeah. You remember we were in, I think it was Birmingham Airport, and this man came over to us. He was a broadcaster.
Malta, by the way, but keep going.
Anyway, it was Burma. Going to Malta. And he said, you know, oh, I recognize you guys. He said, you know, I usually get to the Eurovision, but I didn't get this year. But I rang my sister, who was at it in Dublin, and I asked, who won? Who won? Oh, she said, I don't know, two old buggers with beards.
You know, every time I hear the song, I want it to go on and on. And I'm just wondering, could you ever find the other four verses from it?
No wonder.
Oh, they're there.
An extended version.
I'd say Brendan liked to do that, actually. Yeah. He likes
if
to do it.
If we've got a day or two.
Now, what did it mean to you both to be the winners of the Eurovision?
Well, I knew I'd made it when there was a cavalcade of cars that met us at Rooski in Leitrim to greet us going into Drumshambo. And there was a friend of mine, Enda McLaughlin, was driving the car, and his host, who was shouting, come out and welcome the Eurovision winner, Charlie McGettigan. And he was an auctioneer by trade, James McGuire, sadly no longer.
Did he get much for you, by the way?
I don't know, but as he was talking, he'd forget to turn off the mic, going, Enda, see that field over there? I got 20 grand for that last year. And it was all coming out through the... And I said, yeah, I'm on the way, you know.
Yeah, well, Charlie became the kind of perpetual Lord Mayor of Drumshambo, and I disappeared into obscurity. No, but the truth of the matter was that we were both two separate solo artists, so it did present its own problems too, because we said, now what do we do with this? We decided to try and make an album and stuff like that, and we tried to work it. But that was 94. That was there was World Cup on and stuff like that.
Yep.
So it became a bit tricky. I mean, we did spend a good year traveling out almost every weekend to different places in Europe, which was great. I mean, that was very exciting. With some fun leaving Dublin Airport with no passport and no clothes,
We had brunch with Albert Reynolds, who was Taoiseach at the time, up in the Dáil, and it was great. Everything was going great, but Brendan got a call from Belgium to see would we appear on a 6 o'clock show there.
It was the strangest thing ever. It was kind of like Today Tonight with music. You know, it was bizarre. Do you remember that? We were sitting behind a car,
and we had nothing. I had the guitar, luckily, in the boot of the car. No passports, no tickets for planes or anything. And Albert heard about it. Don't worry about it, lads. Don't worry about it. You can take my car. When we got into this state car, they drove up on footpaths, drove everything to the airport. We were in airport literally 15 minutes from the Dáil. You couldn't do that nowadays.
Oh, listen, G-Sock are already on. They're ringing.
Yeah, I know. we arrived in Belgium, and I remember we had a fiver between us. And you know what he wanted to spend it on? Cigars. Because
I was in a celebratory mood. Yeah. Why wouldn't I?
And we did, and we came back then the following day, still with no passports, into London. And we did Gloria Honeyford's show in London.
That's right, yeah.
And I remember at one point we had run out of underwear, and we bought new underwear in Marks and Spencer's in London. And we thought we were going to walk in, everybody would know who we were, not a thinner knew who. You know, but we
pleasing your fame.
Oh yeah,
We had the old underpants in a plastic bag, Marks and Spencer, changed in, and we left the studio without taking the
old bag. You left the plastic bag
behind. So I often wondered, people open, oh my God.
Well, look, thank you both very much for joining us. This is Paul's regular slot, The Lyrics, The Thing, on a Tuesday on this show, and his guest of honour this morning, Charlie McGettigan.
Thank you
very much, both of you, for reminding us of that wonderful win 30 years ago. Of course,
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.